If you've ever been to a classical music concert, you know the drill.
Polite applause for the conductor. The maestro bows. The audience is hushed. Everyone sits perfectly still.
But there is a growing alternative.
Why don't we get some more beer?
Welcome to Group Muse, an organization started 3 years ago to bring classical music to millennials. People sign up for parties on the web, and Group Muse brings local musicians to perform in living rooms of hosts like James Burgess.
For me to go to the BSO is pretty tough. I got to shell out a lot of money and dress up and get downtown by 5 p.m., but to have people come over and, you know, relax, and I'm not wearing any shoes right now, and it's just a lot more accessible, so, and the music is awesome.
It's part of a growing trend of getting music out of state concert halls and into places where people, as we heard, kick their shoes off, match red wine and Dunkin' Donuts, make social connections, and listen to Beethoven. Sam Botkin, a Columbia graduate, founded Group Muse in Boston 3 years ago. It's now expanded to New York, Seattle, and San Francisco. Botkin's life was changed in college after listening to a Beethoven chamber piece in a friend's apartment.
I listened to the piece maybe 10 times a day for the next 2 weeks, and then I went to the Newton Free Library. I was just indiscriminately yanking anything off the shelf I could find, and within about 6 months, I had a super stacked iPod, and I was listening to hours of classical music a day, and I had basically decided that I was going to devote my life to expanding the listenership for this art form.
Group Muse isn't the only local institution staging classical music more informally. ART's second space, Oberon, has hosted several classical music evenings in Cambridge. There, the sound of cocktail shakers mixes with the music. The Celebrity Series devotes a whole sub-series to mix-and-match sessions. And the Peabody Essex Museum and composer Matthew O'Coin staged a highly theatrical chamber song recital. The audience and the artists roamed through the rooms of the museum. What all these groups realize is that younger people want to mix culture and socialization. Sam Botkin, by the way, met his girlfriend at a Group Muse event. Jazz artist Vijay Iyer, whose music veers into the classical at times, has a more jaundiced view.
There's a concern from the classical music community because basically they've focused for too long on the music of dead white men that only appeals to a dying generation.
Not everyone's on his deathbed, though. 25-year-old Matthew O'Coin has been called the new Leonard Bernstein by the Wall Street Journal. He's found more meat in composing classical works than he has in rock and jazz. He reminds us that chamber music began, you know, in people's chambers.
A lot of the greatest music was made to be performed in people's living rooms and in intimate settings. And it's only because that tradition was imported by rich Americans who wanted to seem European, that it has gotten this toxic reputation in this country.
But Europe isn't immune to a graying audience either. Anna-Sophie Mutter, like Sam Botkin, decided to take her music to where the younger generation hangs out, since they weren't coming to her. She recently played at a hot German club, and you can hear that energy in the new live CD. Another German, Max Richter, is staging his new 8-hour composition, Sleep, in Berlin, with the audience not in seats, but beds. Here's Richter speaking in a promotional trailer.
It's a piece of nighttime music, and I'm hoping people will actually sleep through it. In a way, it's a question about how everything is getting faster, and I think, you know, many of us feel the need for a place to rest. That's what this piece is, an 8-hour place to rest.
It takes a pretty courageous composer to say he wants his music to put people to sleep. At Group Muse, they're not doing pajama parties yet. In fact, the energy level is going the other way. And it's not just for young people, says Sam Botkin.
I think one of the really cool things that we are able to do with Group Muse is provide a forum for intergenerational socialism. Socializing, the likes of which I haven't really seen elsewhere in society.
So far, the pay model, passing the hat, isn't as rewarding for the musicians as it is for the audience. At the event we went to, it came to about $100 for each musician.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
I'm the voice of the older freelancer here, though. And I'm going to say that this is lovely. This is really, really fun. I'm super satisfied in terms of the musical experience I've had. And
that's Amelia Hollander Ames, the viola player in the trio.
I will say, as a model, this is not sustainable for professional musicians. This is a lot less than we normally make. But at the same time, what am I making that doing? Am I making it sitting in the back of a section playing a piece I've played 30 times before? Or am I getting to have, you know, artistic integrity and authority and autonomy? So hopefully this model will become more sustainable for professional musicians to do.
Sam Botkin says Group Muse is experimenting with other ways of meeting artists' needs while keeping audiences happy. One Group Muser spoke ecstatically of a Rite of Spring performance, a partnership of Group Muse and the Boston Philharmonic, in which the ballet stars got everyone up and dancing. Here's James Blackley, who conducted it.
We knew from the beginning that this was a great idea. And what ended up happening was beyond our wildest imagination.
The piece built and sort of gave an instrumental instruction, people sort of felt more under the influence of the music as opposed to the social pressure of looking or doing like a thing.
Roll over, Beethoven. Get up, Igor Stravinsky. Let's dance.